This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday. Gorgeous, gorgeous day. How are you guys?
Swell.
Pretty good.
Excellent. Yeah. Nice day. Nice day
tomorrow. Name?
Well,
she never stops grazing.
Did someone say something?
No.
Okay.
No, you're always hungry.
I am always hungry. I know. I bought the birthday cake the other day. It's gone, which I actually did the math. That's not encouraging. That was an entire, what did we say? It's 8 inches probably or 10 inches, the round cake.
When you weigh 37 pounds
and run 800 miles a week.
I mean, honestly.
Like, you should never stop
why
eating.
Why are you worried?
Well, it's not. It's more on principle. Like, it sounds wrong. Obviously, I'm not worried enough to not do it.
But oh, that's my entire mentality in life.
This is probably wrong.
That's most people at, like, Denny's. This is such a bad idea, but I'm going anyway.
Probably shouldn't play video games for 4 hours tonight, but I'm going to.
Well, I appreciate your concern, Dave. Yeah. I did. I think I'll be eating when I get home. I am hungry, so.
Don't touch my food.
Jeez, that brings back memories. So many of you guys know this story, but a lot of you don't. I don't know how many years it was. Andrew can help me remember, because I think we did it twice. At some point, so I used to eat nothing but roast chicken. So it was just a joke. Yeah. I would just, every day I'd be, you know. Elbows deep in a roaster.
Like the rotisserie ones. Okay, those so good.
And so one day I said, I bet I could eat 5 roasters.
No.
And this is when it was, I think, Rach, you were in the show, weren't you? When
I don't
we did
think
this?
So.
Because that's why we did it twice. Because I know one time Becca, my old producer, ate half of a giant chocolate cake. But on this occasion was when Close was on the show. And so everyone's like, I could eat this, I could eat that, I could eat 3 ribeyes. And Close... Close says, I could eat 100 glazed donut holes.
Oh. I think it was like 100. 14 or 15, 2014,
and
2015.
Probably so. So I got 100 glazed donut holes, which is a much bigger mass than you would expect. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's probably like a 3-foot-long box. And it's beautiful, and they're all mounted over, and we open it up. It looks like, you know, you're burying 100 donut holes in a casket, or, you know. And so to this day, I'm not sure if it really happened or if it was genius. But he gets ready to go, he eats his first donut hole, and he chokes on it, and then he's like, I'm out. I almost just choked to death.
Sign.
Yeah. That's not real.
Though. His exact words were, it got hung up.
It got hung up.
It got hung up.
That sounds like some BS.
Did the planned choking it. Seem legit, though? Were you concerned, like, oh my gosh, he's actually choking?
I mean,
like, Heimlich
he
maneuver?
Did that on a daily basis.
He also did that when we had the fry eating
now,
contest.
That was complete manipulation.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Do you remember the details of that one?
We all just said, like, oh, I could eat this many large McDonald's fries. I could eat this many. So Dave orders all these large McDonald's fries, and Tony and I are making ourselves sick, just choking down as many fries as possible. And Mark did the same thing. He had, like, 3 fries, and one got hung up, and then he just refused to eat anymore.
That's his bit.
That's his thing.
That's what he does.
The thing is that's great is that he was totally unafraid to, like, let Dave go through the trouble of, like, going to the donut shop, dropping like $40 on 100 donut holes, hauling them all the way to work, getting them all set up nice. The whole time he's just like, I'm doing it. Knowing he was going to take one bite and go like, I got hung up, can't do it. And then we were just going to be out on our ass with 99 and a half donut holes.
So he took the, This is back when Phoebe was about 9 or 10. And we took the 99 donut holes, and her best friends in the neighborhood were the Lunas, who have 5 girls and a boy, or 3 chimps and a rhino, I forget. But there's a lot of kids. And so we just set them on their front porch, knocked, and ran. And so it was like the greatest day of their life. They just,
they're like,
Mom, there's a box for my donuts!
Why are there 99 and a half?
He said the donut fairy was fake. I believed.
But on the fry thing, that's I remember awesome. Close was like, spiking the ball and taunting. He was like, well, I'm not an idiot. Why am I going to eat 3 large fries and go home and get sick?
So this is a serious question.
You were mad. You were really mad.
Yeah, I'm still mad. That was some BS.
Wait, hold on. You got like clenched fist over there.
Man, I used to work with a guy. I won't name his name. But he bought 2 boxes of Krispy Kreme glazed donuts for the office.
I know who it is.
I know,
do
you know
too.
Who it is.
Yep.
I'm not going to say, even though he said it, I'm
remember
not going to do it again.
Last time we did one of these,
he might have worked at Camel X at
Chris
one point.
Like whispered it into
Charles
the mic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, I think whispered I did the name that. Into the mic.
Yeah. No, wait, you did it. That's right.
It's so, Larry.
He might have worked here at one point.
And he did. So he bought 2 boxes of Krispy Kreme glazed donuts, and by the time he got to the office, there was a half box left.
Oh,
so
those things go down easy, though, man.
Used to, they and in his defense, they are kind of
airy.
Yeah, they're fluffy. They're fluffy.
Okay, but this is
a lot of donuts, though.
This is my serious question: with your eating contests, did you get sick later? Eating that many fries or donuts or whatever it is.
No.
In typical Dave fashion, I never ate a bite. I just started the whole
Dave
thing.
Dave just starts the fight and then backs away.
Yeah. I got sick after the 40 chicken nuggets in an hour. That
How
one
many?
Was, it was 40 in an hour.
40
or
an
no,
hour.
40 and a half an hour.
Oh,
that was trickier than I thought it was going to be. That one was tough.
That's a lot of chicken nuggets.
Mm-hmm. And the Pointersaurus, that one.
Don't even bring that
up. What?
Pointer Pizza has a gigantic pizza. And if 2 people can eat it in an hour, they get $500.
Oh.
And one of my friends did it. And so we called the Pointers, and they brought it in, and it was Jason Church, who's now running the SIU radio station, cool dude, and Andrew. Church ate 3/4 of this thing.
He did. He ate more than his share.
We've all seen Andrew eat, right? He's kind of known for it. Andrew ate like a piece and a half, and he got food drunk. I've never seen the phenomenon before.
I couldn't
he was
him.
Stumbling around like a guy at a frat party. It was crazy.
I'm starting to think that maybe he wasn't food drunk, and similarly to the time he went to Casey's
there
and just
go.
Pretend. Maybe Andrew just thinks that pretending to be drunk gets him out of any uncomfortable situation.
Let's see if he does it now.
Andrew?
You guys, you don't
out. Like it's the ultimate excuse.
No,
it's
like, yeah, I'm no Mark Close.
It's okay. He's drunk.
I'm no Mark Close. I wouldn't bluff.
Church Dog was pissed because he needed that money.
He was pissed. I took a couple bites, and I kind of knew as soon as we got started, that thing is enormous. And I knew from the beginning, I was like, I don't think I can handle
it. But you still only needed to eat a normal amount of pizza.
I had to eat a half of one of them, like a half of the big one, which is still bigger than like a normal large pizza. And I was like, I don't know if I can do it.
Were you nervous? Did like the nerves make you less hungry and feel like you couldn't eat a regular amount of pizza?
I don't think it goes that deep. I think it was just I think it was just an enormous pizza.
I was thinking the same thing.
I think it's just three times the normal amount of pizza I would eat.
In a normal sitting, how many slices of Casey's can you take?
I don't like the word take.
That does sound kind of dirty.
Hey, calm down.
Like 3 maybe, 2 or 3? I can't.
2
I'm not
pieces
good with,
of pizza?
I feel
I'm not
like
great
you could
with
do
pizza. I'm not
way
great
more
with
than
pizza.
2.
I get like if I get like a Little Caesars, I'll eat like half of it. And that's like that'll be like
what about a frozen pizza? Do you eat an entire frozen pizza?
Depends on how big it is. If it's like a little tiny guy, I can eat the I can eat
like
the whole thing.
But a normal one, like a regular one.
Jack's like a Jack's
like
or a Tombstone.
Oh, those go down easy.
Yeah.
Jack's
yeah,
and Tombstone.
Jack's
you can eat the whole one of those.
Yeah, can you take a whole one?
Can you take a whole
one?
Can you take a whole Jack?
Come
DiGiorno,
on, man.
DiGiorno, what's the most, what if you had to eat a volume of food, what would it be?
Like any food, and just like
don't ask follow up questions.
I mean, I did pretty well with the chicken nuggets. I wasn't feeling great afterward, but I did do 40 in half an hour. And I do like chicken nuggets.
What did he call fries? Sweet wind?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wind. They're wind.
They're nothing.
Yeah, fries are nothing.
He was making the argument that, like, when he eats...
It was a part of the large fry conversation.
A large order of fries is like, you don't even put that into your calorie count.
Whenever Smoothie King used to be open down here, Andrew would, after a particularly large lunch, would go get a smoothie to kind of tamp down the meal because he thought that was a way to, like...
What? Oh my God. Yeah, they're light. They're fruity. They're breezy.
No, they're like 700 calories.
I know, they're loaded, yeah.
So he would eat a bunch of orange chicken and go like, you know what I need?
I need a
this smoothie.
You gotta calm everything down.
So, what if that's how a stomach worked? You just put more on top to keep it down, weighted? Yeah, that's how it works.
The orange chicken's like, what is that, strawberries?
Oh, we're gonna calm down now.
Oh, man.
How about you guys? What would your go-to be?
Crab legs. I could eat, if crab legs eating them was a job, I could do that for 5 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
If they just kept bringing buckets of crab legs.
I could do that for,
wait, hold on, you said I could do that for 5 hours?
Oh,
so you're working part-time?
Morning's working now.
He's getting off of high school and biking on over to his job, which is eating crab legs.
Did you say crab?
Yeah, I did. I would go donuts. I could eat a lot of donuts.
My cousin had crabbed legs. Poor thing had to walk sideways her whole life. It looked like she was sneaking.
Oh, man.
Yeah. A lot of what?
Donuts. I mean, I think, not to sound like close, but I think donut holes would be even easier.
I'm listening.
I'm just saying, I could eat a lot of them.
Birthday cake for me, or dry cereal. Like, I could knock you in. I could knock down a box.
We should get her and Andrew to compete.
Yeah, but Andrew puts it in a bowl and eats it with a spoon.
You don't put it in a bowl. You got to eat it straight out of the box.
What's wrong with putting it in a bowl?
It doesn't make sense.
That's the weirdest.
Odd. We all sound like the G-list in the Marvel universe of superhero friends.
Okay. What's your superpower?
Yeah. More dry cereal.
I know this is
putting cereal in a bowl is the weirdest thing I've ever been shamed for, but Amy does it every time she sees
it. Is,
you don't put milk on it.
Yeah, it's dry.
It's you just eat out of the box.
Right.
Yeah.
This is
why do dishes?
This is pretty sexy, so I don't know if I should share it. But when I'm sitting on the couch eating dry cereal straight out of the box, I usually have so many crumbs on my shirt that I kind of hold the shirt up like a bowl so I can dump out all the crumbs in the sink because there's so much dry cereal.
Yeah, but why would you do something horrifying like put it in a bowl?
Okay. That's on my shirt.
That's like the only
was
fat thing you do.
Really waiting for the sexy part?
Yeah, I'm like, that's not what you said it was.
I'll take my shirt.
If it's not colonial, I'm not interested. That was super cute, Rachel.
Rachel's like, you can fit a lot of cereal in those dresses.
In the skirt. Give me a break. They make those skirts to carry stuff around.
You can fit a goodly goose.
You can fit a whole dowry pig in one of those.
Dowry pig. Mama's got the maize. Oh, boy. Wheels?
Oh, yeah. I'd go seafood. I'd probably go crab cakes.
I forgot.
Yeah. Crab cakes.
Crab cakes?
Yeah, but you got to get the ones that have more of the crab meat than the breading, because the breading will kill you. Not literally, but...
It's weird.
I'm not a duck.
Maybe literally.
It's so good, dude.
Yeah, that is awesome.
It is so good.
So weird.
I would not have expected you to pick crab.
Crab cakes are my favorite thing in the world.
Please do a podcast called Crabby Boys.
Crabby Boys.
Crabby Boys, Ronji and Wheels.
And just talk about crab.
Crab cakes.
But don't do
crab
it as a
sandwiches.
Joke. Just play it straight.
Crab fondue.
Well, we have Lionel on line one from...
I bet there's an audience for it.
I love
crab programming.
I gotta find your
Can't
niche.
Get enough.
Most of our listeners are in Maine.
I'm gonna call Bristol's. So we need a sponsor.
Oh yeah, that place.
Yeah, it's good.
I was in Vegas once. Wherever Penn and Teller do their show, I forget which one that is, and they have a world-renowned seafood buffet, and it's like 24 hours a day, and it's just piled with giant king crab legs.
Yeah.
And at one point, it was empty. Now, of course, they're going to bring more, but it's going to happen. At some point, there's just no crab. And I saw two grown men throw haymakers at each other to get the last crab leg.
Me and Ranji.
And it's like, boys, we're in Vegas, not the middle of the desert.
Who won, Penn or Teller?
What are you doing?
I get it. When something runs out at the buffet, it feels like they're never going to bring any more back.
Yeah,
so you have to fight somebody.
Plus, you also have to wait. Like, you don't want to stop eating when you're at a buffet, but if you want that thing, you don't want to eat all the other nonsense.
But then you want to wait for the fresh pile of crab.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
those are pretty good, the first ones.
See? Here's your first episode of Krabby Boys.
Damn, we're
gonna get
this.
The first one.
Let's go.
And part of my deal, I made a deal to do a national podcast. Fast forward a year from now, mine's going to flop, and Krabby Boys is going to be in the top 10.
We're going to do the cover song, Krab Boys, Krab Boys. What you going to do?
Oh,
okay, maybe I'm safe. Play the game. 124 DGS. I'm laughing because I started saying there's really not enough time to get into what I want to get into. And when you hear what I want to get into, you're going to laugh because there's plenty of time.
There's too much time.
My setup was going to be, though, like I have this cast around me that makes this show possible. And, you know, Rach has 8 different things on here, and each one of them are a segment. Really good stuff. Wheels has 7. Each one could go a whole segment. And then I have my friend Andrew. And you put your top things on top. And, you know, like, here's the gold, and here, I'm just going to read. Here's his top story of the day. Backyard witches caught eating deer carcass on trail cam.
Do you see these witches? Do you see the witches?
No, yeah. I got to find this.
If I ever have a band, it's Backyard Witches.
Let me tell you.
I didn't know how better to put it than Backyard Witches.
I laughed so hard when I read this.
No, so these I think it's up in, like, southern Canada, like, close to the border. And it's this this lady found a deer carcass out on her, like, in her garden, a couple minutes from her house. So she set up a trail cam up there, hoping that that she would see, like, coyotes or wolves or something coming eating the corpse. And the
well, ooh, I hope a good animal comes and eats this.
Can't
corpse.
Wait to see it.
Oh boy!
Her dad told her later. Her dad said it was the quote was like, "We got some people on the cam. I saw," and she's like, "No, we didn't." So she goes and she looks at the camera, and there's two women, very scantily clad, wearing next to nothing, and they, like, approach this this deer carcass, and they start eating it. On the camera, it's suspected to be some sort of a witchcraft thing, because what else are they doing out there eating deer carcasses?
Must be witches.
It seemed witchy.
Did they just get down on all fours and eat like they're an animal?
Yeah, I mean,
here,
like...
Kevin, show them the picture. There you go. That's exactly what you're looking at.
Gosh.
They look like Gollum.
It is thought that the women were carrying out a, quote, carcass-eating ritual.
Ritual. That's witchy.
But you're supposed to put stuff in a cauldron first if you're a witch.
Like, boil
no.
it?
They boil everything.
They're not cartoons, Christopher. They're...
No. Oh, every witch
Real
I've
life
ever
witches.
Heard of boils
yeah.
things.
Everything is in a...
Gang, they're out here in the woods eating a dead deer carcass from 3 days ago. I don't think.
I mean, that's so.
This is some real stuff.
Yeah, it's very unhealthy.
Gross. Do you have any diseases? Oh, they're probably dead.
I love the lady's quote in the story. The lady who put up the cam, she's like, maybe they were paying their respects, but they were naked. Oh my God.
This makes me think that maybe Satan is just like an older brother. You know, the witches are like, what can we do to serve you? And he's like, why don't you get naked and eat that dead deer? They're like, okay. It's like when your brother mixes up mayonnaise and mustard and worms.
He's like, now you gotta eat it. Oh.
There's also a dude there that appears to be wearing shoes and pants.
What?
Yeah.
With the witches?
Look, yeah, look. The guy standing next to her, you can see shoes and pants.
He's absolutely right. He's wearing chinos and brown loafers.
He's like, I'll come with you, but I'm not putting on the outfits.
Well, here's a breakthrough. Has anyone said that yet? Like in the post? Hey, there's some guy in snacks.
No, I mean, like, no, but like, here's one of the people that commented on the story was like, that's basically a walking demon from hell. If you hear screaming, stay inside and get a gun. Because, you know, demons and guns. Everybody knows demons don't want any part of guns.
Yeah, but the guy in chinos and brown loafers.
Yeah. Now what we're getting some of the comments, they're saying, like, it's skinwalkers.
He's like, you didn't tell me we were wearing a
thing.
That's a cult. Wendigo.
I think
that's
it's
a cult.
Too didn't
tell
weird,
me we were doing a costume.
That's my two cents.
Yeah, maybe they're probably just on meth.
That's our podcast. Two weird ladies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
134 in DGS. Long way to go. Tons of guests coming up. It's Indictment Watch. I have never done criminal law, but my friends who have, people like Chet Pleben and so forth, have told me that in the federal system, right before you get indicted is when you get the communication that you're a target and you've got like a couple days. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, evidently, former President Trump was in some way, shape or form informed that he is officially a target. And so that's why everyone's like, OK, the cameras on all the courthouses and waiting for it to happen. So we have lots of guests for that. If that is an eventuality. This is completely stupid, but if anyone knows where I can get those frozen snow cones that the ice cream man used to do, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The popsicle snow cones that are frozen like a brick.
Yeah.
And they have bubble gum in the bottom.
Yes.
I cannot find those to be like shipped here. And I need them.
Well, apparently we didn't have those in Granite. I don't know what that is.
Yes, really? You do. Yes,
yeah.
You do. Because
I remember
they were
the bubble gum
hard.
Ice cream from Baskin-Robbins.
No. Until you could actually.
Right. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
The rainbow colors.
Yep.
They're already frozen. They're
and you got the gumball at the bottom. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I remember Bomb Pops. Yeah. And I remember the bubble gum ice cream from Baskin-Robbins. That's it.
No, these were like, they were hard, like the refreeze of ice. And in winter, imagine you had a fresh snow cone. It kept its shape, but it melted and then froze as a solid block.
I feel robbed. Well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Dude, I knew
sounds
you had
great.
It, I knew you had it bad in GC, but I didn't know you didn't have snow cones.
Didn't even know what the Ozarks were growing up.
You just lick ice cubes.
That's where all the rich people hung out, right?
That's where the rich people hung out in the Ozarks.
You thought the Ozarks were Hartford.
The Hamptons of the Midwest.
You gotta have a boat to go down there.
That's great. This is interesting. It's along the lines of what we talk about a lot, but it's a little bit different take. A new study has shown that there's a special rift between two generations. And Wheels, you love to talk about how going back thousands of years, every generation's like, oh, these kids are so soft, we're going to get overrun by the Spartans. Gen X is really angering the boomers, their parents, because they are
it's not what I was thinking.
Parenting in such a different way than they were parented. And what they're saying is basically, hey, look, not everything was bad with my childhood. That would be my childhood, your childhood.
Right, right.
But it was a little too whatever, a little too spanky, a little too slappy, a little too yelly, a little too not enough love and hugs. So we're keeping the good stuff and throwing out the bad stuff. And the boomers, the parents, are like, well, screw you. I can't believe you don't think that we were great parents. I can't believe that you would make changes. And every generation does it, but the Xers and the boomers are going at it, supposedly.
People.
Fighting over the grandkids.
The way I would put it is innovating. Like, you take what was there before and you put your own twist on it, or you do it a little bit differently in way, because nothing's perfect, right? Like, do you think that anybody that, like, my dad did a great job with me and my brother, my sister. My mom and dad did a great job. But I'm not either of those two people. So why would I try to imitate exactly what they did when I'm not them? You put your own twist on it. I don't see why this would be an issue.
Do you think, just off the top of your head, that for your parenting, it was based more around whether it's copying it or going against it? What affected you more for your parenting? Your parents, your friend's parents, or like television?
Oh, it was definitely my parents. I mean, like, in good, not, there was no really bad. I didn't have a bad experience, but it was, you know, I learned the good things and I also tailored it to what was necessary for us. You know, and I almost feel like I'm cheating by talking about it because my kid was like super easy. Like, we didn't have any issues. We didn't have any real big problems. I didn't have to lay down the law. I never once had to even threaten a spanking. All I had to do was raise my voice and she'd stop doing what we were doing. So I don't know. I don't understand why anybody would not understand that that's how it works, that we're all different. My brain's different than my parents' brain. I'm a different dad than my dad. And I mean, the two of us have talked about those things, but never once in a rivalry type of way. It's never been like, why'd you do that differently? Did you not like that? Like, no, he understands that I'm a different person than he is. And so we see things differently.
See, it's interesting when you brought this up and you started with Gen X. My thought was, oh, Gen X has a real problem with millennials and Gen Z because they have it too easy. And I'm thinking about that. It was the Instagram thing you played, Kevin, a couple of weeks ago from a person I actually went to high school with. I graduated with
her. Yeah, that was TikTok, yeah.
The TikTok thing about how we were the last generation with, we didn't have safe spaces and we didn't do this and we did this. And I'm like, yeah, but we didn't have active shooter drills either.
Right.
So it's not like all these kids have it so easy with nothing to worry about ever. But we act like our generation was the last generation to have it hard, which is so stupid.
I think the worst of my generation, and it certainly wasn't every family, but there were a lot more whippings and dads using the belt and all that stuff. Other than like real, you know, outlying situations, abuse, just the whippings. I'll take that as the bad part of my childhood versus active shooter drills, and
100%.
Social media, and everyone in my class knowing my business and being able to be bullied by hundreds instead of just a couple. Like, I think we had it easier than the kids do now.
I made it all the way through high school without an active shooter at school even being an idea that you'd ever heard of. Columbine happened. I was just out of school. You know, I was in college, but that wasn't even a thing. And now it's like they're doing drills, man, like tornado drills and fire drills. We have active shooter drills now. That's a lot to worry about for a kid. That's in the back of your mind. That could happen to you. That's nuts. And that, to me, I agree with you. That is a lot harder than, yeah, maybe you got a spanking every now and then.
Yeah, I feel like childhood feels, there was something sacred about childhood, kind of the innocence, your world was smaller, and I feel like we've lost so much of that smallness and that safeness just because everything you just mentioned, Dave, whether it's social media, the internet, active shooters, all of these things where childhood feels much bigger now for kids. When I was a kid, I mean, I really felt like a kid. Like, we just played. Yeah. We didn't have, like, the biggest thing was, you know, calling your friend's house and going, can you come over to play? Yeah. You know, but it was a landline, and if their mom was on the phone, you couldn't get a hold of them. Yeah.
Rach, you talked about how your cat Lucy sometimes you think, like, this apartment is her universe. This is her whole world.
Yeah.
When I went to my mom's this weekend, a bunch of the family were going, and I was a little bit early as usual, so I just kind of drove around my old stomping grounds. And, like, from Brad Wells' house to my house is about 4 blocks. That was my world. Like, mm-hmm. that was my whole world, you know? I mean, like I've always made fun of, I didn't know that there was a pool in Roxana. I didn't know that there was a skating rink. It was just so, it was especially isolated for an isolated childhood during an isolated time. Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the part I loved. I loved that. I loved that my world was 3 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still stressful. I still had anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't even wrap my mind around today.
Yeah. Ugh.
What's fascinating, too, is, like, I think the tools that you have, like, my parents had to do a lot more, like, our parents' generation had to do a lot more seat-of-the-pants type stuff, where you didn't just go look at a YouTube video to see, my kid's behavior is this, how do I alter that behavior, what can I do? It was, back then, it would be more freestyle, like, well, guess we'll try this, or we're going to read Dr. Spock. Remember Dr. Spock? Like, everybody had the same books, but I don't know that anybody ever read them.
Also, unless you were the parent of a kid who's out torturing animals or something, right? If you were just the parent of a normal kid, even a quote-unquote bad kid, there were, like, 4 things they could be doing, right?
Right,
like,
right.
They're smoking, there's sneaking beer, they're, you know, maybe smoking pot, whatever. Now, with the internet, it's like, the world's your oyster.
Yeah.
Pick your poison.
I also think there are a lot more things now, and I mean, my kid's 26, so I haven't had to do this in a while, but let's go 10 years ago when I might have had to do something that was disciplinary. There are more ways of disciplining a kid now, to me, available to you, because there are more things that they are relying on that they care a lot about.
With.
Right. So, like, for example, when I was a kid, if I got in trouble and you're going to ground me and I can't watch TV or I can't play whatever video game thing we had, well, now I'm bugging you because that's all I had to do. There's nothing else for me to do. I have my toys. I got some video games. I got my TV. And it's either that or, you know, usually it was kick me outside. Like, all right, just go outside with your friends and play. Get out of here. Now I can take the phone away, which, by the way, was the ultimate threat for my kid. That was the one that got compliance almost 100% of the time. And I think having more of those tools to use was helpful. Just more ways to say, listen, you don't want to behave? Fine, I'm going to take this thing away. And then we're going to take this thing away, and we're going to take this thing away. And then following through on it is always the key point. I don't think the basics have changed. You set standards. When those are violated, you have to follow through on whatever your threat was, and then you go from there and adjust.
Here's sort of a similar deal. A new survey says that, okay, I'll make it a question. What percent of adults today's adults, would leave a 13-year-old home alone for a weekend?
A weekend?
A weekend.
Never would have happened. With my kid.
4%.
14.
Really?
Wow.
I think I was either 13 or 14, definitely no more than that.
Really?
When my mom and dad left me alone when they went to Vegas, they had my sister who lived down the street, like, look in on me. But other than that, I was on my own, which was a disaster. But
wow.
How is it a disaster?
Oh, every way possible. The one thing that we owned that was probably worth the most amount of money was this ancient dish vase, and I broke it and I decided to bury it in the backyard, but I left the shovel sticking in the hole. And so as soon as they pulled up from the airport, they saw a shovel sticking out of a freshly dug hole with the vase in it. And I even tried to lie. They're like, what? I'm like, so? And they're like, nope, 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 nope. And I remember this one. For some reason, this just sticks out in my mind. I was eating a lot of cereal in those days. And my mom was a mom. Like, she, you know, made the beds, did the laundry, did the cooking, did the baking, cleaned up everything, did the dishes. I had basic chores, but nothing too much. Like, she pretty much did it all. And so when they left, I wasn't trying to do things. And so when I would finish my cereal and there'd still be a little bit of milk and a little bit of cereal at the bottom, I would just cover it with a Scott towel. And so when they got home, there were like 6 of those. I know. I'm not proud of it. It's just like I was so clueless and lazy.
What? I don't understand the shovel. When you're finished, why wouldn't you?
I don't know. Again, stupid.
Have you ever shoveled anything?
Subconscious mind wanted to get caught.
I guess.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So was your plan to tell them that someone broke in and stole the vase?
Have you ever known me to have a plan?
And imagine 13-year-old
So at 13, not only would you have been fine, you probably could have, like...
I would have been way too scared to stay by myself. Mm. I would have been so insecure. And I think the first time I stayed overnight by myself, I was like 19. I didn't get that opportunity as a teenager, and I did not want it. Like, even when I was 19, I think I've told you guys this before. When I get scared, I sleep with the lights on, and the light was on all night. Like, I was just a very sheltered kid.
How about you guys?
I don't think I was ever left alone for a weekend at that age, or even a night. I mean, you could be home alone, but it wasn't like a, hey, we're going to...
Not even when the parents went to the Ozarks?
Without me? Yeah.
To hang with the
jerks.
Rich.
That's why I've never been. They went by themselves. Yeah, I don't think it was never like that. And I don't know if other kids got to be home alone when their parents left. Like my friends, I don't think they got it either.
I'm trying to remember. I know we did stay home because my parents had to travel for work a little bit. And, but I mean, we were in our teens because we had a younger sister. And I say we, my older sister and I are 2.5 years apart. And I always felt like we were the ones in charge. Then you have the younger siblings, my younger sister and my younger brother. And I'm trying to remember if, like, I was 16, she was 18, you know, and we stayed with the two younger kids. I don't know when it started, but, yeah, something like that. But then again, there were two of us who were old enough to be in charge.
I don't remember for a weekend. There was definitely an overnight once, and I think I was 8th grade, because I wanted to – this is so stupid. I wanted to play in our baseball game on Saturday morning, and they weren't going to be back from wherever they were going. I'm like, well, I'll just stay by myself. And they're like, okay. I'm like, really? Yes. And I got to do it. And it was awesome.
How'd you get to the game?
I rode my bike.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Andrew, I'm sure you got something weird.
No, I would say probably like 16. And in that case, like, I wasn't home alone. Like, we lived with my grandmother, so my grandma was there. But
so then it was.
That's not alone.
I was the caretaker in that situation.
I
was the caretaker. I wasn't being cared for. So it's not exactly like
he wasn't doing jet crap.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was doing anything. Was basically like being alone.
By high school, though, that was kind of a common thing.
I had to clean.
By high school, it was a common thing for people to be left alone because, like, that's when everybody had parties. Because your parents go out of town.
Well, yeah, I went to the truth.
That would have been impossibility for me. Like, my version of that would have been like, look, we're making Kool-Aid with twice the sugar.
It's getting turned.
These people don't need to know what happens. Yeah. Another Totino's.
Yeah. I remember the party at Rob's house. That was pretty wild. That one was, one of the girls that came with us took a pill. We don't know what she took, and all of a sudden was like,
what?
Yeah, like not comatose, but seemed like it. We were like, oh my God, what's happening? And at that very moment that we realized that she had taken something and was tripping, we didn't know what that was. We just thought she was dying. No, I'm serious.
What
we did.
The hell?
No, I'm serious.
About?
Listen, let me finish the story. We figure this out. And at that point,
wait, before you finish, both Chris and I are involved with the FBI.
So. Yeah. Trust me. I had no part of this. I didn't even drink beer, man. I didn't do any. I'm like, we're like, what's wrong with her? I don't know, but we brought her, so we got to get her out of here. So we're like carrying her, and that's when the police arrived to break up the party.
Wow.
And we're like, well, we're not going out that way. So everybody goes out the back door, climbing.
Carrying a comatose.
Yes, my buddy and I are carrying this girl, and we like pass her over the fence. There's drunk dudes in the tree, like, stay here, they won't find us. And then we had to walk around the block.
Drunk dudes always in the tree?
No, just that like tree. Just that time.
Always up in the tree, like the two old men.
Yeah, that was Rob's house, but that was my...
That's
the Muppets people.
Yeah, that was... Ryan was in the tree.
It's a real Wizard of Oz thing.
Yeah, Ryan was just like sitting up there, like, and parched like a bird, too. It's really weird.
Is she comatose or dead?
No, he didn't notice us at all. He was like, he's just like... Where are the police? Just stay here. They won't find me.
She took some kind of pill and she's tripping.
Yeah. And then we...
Shut up, tree drunk.
She kind of like came around a little bit by the time we were getting to the hospital, so we just took her home to her house.
I've lived a lifetime.
She was fine, by the way. She dropped acid.
Very different high school experience. Yeah.
This was a Catholic school party. This wasn't like...
Oh, Catholic schools were the craziest.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah.
Rach
is quietly muttering "Gosh darn it" under her breath because she's run out of yarn.
Yeah,
and you're passing comatose women yeah. over a
Listen,
fence.
Listen, like I said, I never took part in any of those things because I was scared of my dad.
You not just about told
sounds like you're taking part.
No. I was the good guy in this. I'm helping. I didn't drink. I didn't do any drugs. I didn't do any of that stuff. I was helping a friend.
Rachel and I were at the same party playing Risk and Balderdash.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.